And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and this is our debut episode of The View from the Opposition, which will be a series of interviews with supporters and writers who follow Fulham's opposition. This week, we are joined by Jake Jackman, who writes for Newcastle360.com. He's on to give us the view of Newcastle United going into this match. Before we do anything, I have to welcome Jake to the show. Jake, welcome to Cottage Talk.
Thanks for having me today.
Listen, I look forward to getting your view of Newcastle heading into this new season. But before we do that, please tell Fulham supporters where they can see you. You actually do a very good podcast, so talk a little bit about that and also talk about the website Newcastle360.com.
Yeah, so I do quite a lot of writing and sort of podcasting for various different websites. I do a lot of writing on the Premier League for EPL Index. I write about Newcastle for Newcastle 360, and I write about the Dutch League for Total Dutch Football. So they're definitely three sites to check out. I do host a Championship podcast this year, which is in association with EPL Index. And on there, we get fans from all different sort of clubs to come on, discuss the issues in the league, learn a bit more about each club. It sort of just covers sort of the league as a whole. And this week we had Andrew on, which was really interesting. So it was a lot of Fulham chat, so maybe give that a listen as well. And that's pretty much what I do and everything.
Okay, great. And I listened back to the podcast. It was excellent. All of the bloggers that were on really did a very nice job, including yourself as hosting. It really was a great podcast. I posted it on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. I tweeted it out. So I highly recommend you listening to that. Like I said, this is going to be a show that our guest here does, and it really is a very good podcast, so highly recommend it. All right, Jake, let's start here. I hate to look back with you, but we have to start there. Let's look back at last season and just tell us what went wrong with Newcastle United.
Yeah, so I think our relegation is sort of the result of 3 or 4 years of bad management, both in sort of recruitment and managerial hires. And, you know, last summer we appointed Steve McLaren, and that was just, I think, the wrong appointment from the start. He hasn't really done a lot in his career since Middlesbrough, and that was a good time ago. And he obviously had a poor record with England and then sort of didn't get Derby out of the Championship when he perhaps should have. And he was sort of brought in through the back door. He wasn't really unveiled, and it sort of just didn't sit right for me from the very start. And, you know, the club had 6 months after Alan Pardew left the club to source a replacement, and they went for a man in a similar mould, and sort of it didn't look like they'd spent that 6 months, you know, doing their homework and getting somebody in who would take the club forward. And, you know, that showed. There's just been a lack of ambition at the club. We've sort of sold ourselves as being a selling club, sort of bringing players in, giving them a platform in the Premier League and then selling them on for a profit. And I think that sort of attitude to sort of, you know, it's got through to the players. They think, oh, we only have to turn up against the big clubs. We only have to turn up when we're on TV. This club isn't going to go anywhere. So as long as we play well against certain clubs, like, we'll get a move out of here, like, which has been reflected by Gini Wijnaldum leaving, and Moussa Sissoko has been heavily linked with Real Madrid and various other clubs. And he's a player that Newcastle don't really think has played well on the whole, but he does very well in big games, and that's why he has this sort of reputation. So I think we've sort of had a poor strategy and poor managerial hires. It's all just resulted in us getting relegated. We perhaps could have stayed up last season if we'd have brought Benitez in with a few games earlier. I think he sort of changed the attitude totally. As soon as he came in, there was no negative stories coming out of the changing rooms. The players sort of bought into what he was trying to do, and he just sort of changed the whole direction of the club, which is what we've needed for a long time. And, you know, you saw on the last day against Tottenham, we won 5-1, had 10 men for a lot of that game. And, you know, that was a huge win for us. And it just sort of showed what those players could do, but they just couldn't do it under McLaren. And he just wasn't the right man, I think.
Okay, excellent. Before we move on, I do want to ask you a little bit about Alan Pardew. You were talking about the slide to relegation. He had a toxic relationship, based on what I've been following, a few years back. Did the slide begin during the Pardew era, or was it even farther back than that? I'm curious your thoughts on while Pardew was there.
Yeah, Pardew definitely played a part in it. I think you saw in the year and a half perhaps before he left, the form wasn't great. We went through long spells without, you know, put in a long spell of losing games. He'd go on a run of 3 or 4 wins, and that would sort of take us up into mid-table. Then it would go wrong from there, and he sort of got the wins when he needed to, but overall the football wasn't pleasing. He didn't manage the club well. He had a poor relationship with the media, and we were happy when he left. I think that was, he should have probably left a lot sooner than he did. The start of our sort of decline probably came maybe at the end of the 2011-12 season when we finished fifth. You know, we had a good platform to go on there. We had Demba Ba, Johan Kabay, Cheick Tiote, Hatibinoff, you know, some very talented players all playing well, and we'd finished fifth. So, you know, obviously something was going right. And it was that summer where we should have bought big maybe and pushed on from there. But I think the club thought, oh, look, we're here now. It's unlikely we're ever going to drop into relegation. We'll play it easy. Just bring in a few players. And they never really pushed on. And it was that sort of lack of ambition there that, you know, where the slide kicked in.
I think that's a great point. I remember that team and thinking, okay, now Newcastle United are going to be a top 8 team from this point on. And it didn't work out that way. You just gave the reasons why they went in the opposite direction, Jake. That's the unfortunate part. I'm glad that you went back to that team because I actually enjoyed watching that team that ended fifth. I thought you were on the rise, and there was an opportunity there. Unfortunately, it went in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I'd agree. There was a foundation of a very good team there. You had a good core with Tim Krul, Colaccini, Tiote, Kabay, Ben Arfa, Barr, you know, some very good players. And even the players like a level beneath that, sort of Danny Guthrie, James Perch, they were playing well, and it sort of looked like the team suited each other. But like you say, we just never pushed on from there, and it was very disappointing for Newcastle fans. I think that is where we started to decline, and we never really recovered from that until Benitez came in. But that was, you know, too little too late in the end.
Okay, very good, and I'm glad that you mentioned Benitez because it's a very good transition, because I want to ask you about him and learn a little bit about your manager. Everyone knows the name Rafa Benitez, but just share with us his style of play and what you expect from his team this season.
Yeah, he's obviously a well-known manager. He's done good things in his career. Won the Champions League with Liverpool, managed Real Madrid, Napoli, Valencia, you know, very big clubs. And it's quite a shock that he came to us in the first place, let alone stayed here when we went down. So that was a positive thing for us. And I think it's finally a man who buys into the club. He knows, he understands the supporters. He knows how to run a football club properly. And he's just so engaging. Like even yesterday, he did a phone-in on BBC Newcastle, which in previous years, McLaren and Pardew have done, but it was the way he talked to the the fans. He sort of was like giving his reasoning for everything. He didn't shy away from a question. He was asked about the captaincy transfer business, and he was very, you know, candid in his responses. And he was, you know, and that's just really pleasing that we have a manager who connects with the fans. I think that's what we've been lacking for a long time. So I'm very happy he's here. In terms of his style of play, he spoke yesterday during that phone-in that he's looked at the league. He doesn't think goal scorers are as important as they're made out. And I think maybe you'll agree with McCormack and his impact on Fulham. Like he's done very well, but Benitez was talking about how the defence is more important. And normally the teams that go up, they're the teams that have strong defences,
right,
like Middlesbrough and Burnley last year. So
yep,
he's obviously done his research. He's not a manager who's going to come in and know nothing about Rotherham. And I think I heard Bristol City's manager, Lee Johnson, he was talking about how Benitez didn't know who he was. And I think that's true. I think Benitez will know everything about every single one of these clubs. That he, you know, think it's going to be easy. He knows it's going to be a tough year this year, but he wouldn't have stayed if he didn't think he was the man to do it. And I think he's completely the right man for the job. I think in terms of tactics, he'll probably line up with a 4-2-3-1 formation, which is fast becoming the a common formation in football. He'll play with sort of two screening midfielders. I don't think we'll have a playmaker in that sort of double pivot. It'll be maybe more of an Isaac Hayden and Jack Colback sort of doing the work back there and giving and making sure we're solid at the back before giving it to our more attacking players up front. But then at the same time, he's very pragmatic. Like if things aren't going well, he'll change it up. He can put two strikers on. He can maybe move to three at the back if he needs to. And he's not afraid to make changes very early on if it's not going his way. And I think that's very similar to what your manager's like as well, Jukanovic. I think he's very similar in that sort of mold where he makes changes as things go and he's not stuck to one style. And I think that's very important in this league because every side is different in this league. There's a lot of styles, you know. You've got Wagner at Huddersfield. He's similar to Jurgen Klopp, learned his game from him. You've got Nigel Pearson, who's going to, you know, everyone knows what he's about. You know, there's just so many different styles. And I think it's important to be pragmatic in this league. So I think he's going to be very pragmatic. He's not going to stick to one style. And I think, you know, our squad has got so many different options in it. It's very strong. It's very deep. And I think in that sense, we should be completely fine.
You should be, and I'm glad that you mentioned that Benitez was really focusing on the defense, but also playing that chess match against the other manager slash head coach and Savisa. I can already tell you, based on what we've seen and also in preseason, he's that type of manager that is going to mix and match and try to find your weakness and exploit it. And he is definitely not afraid to change. We've seen it early. You know, I'm used to managers that might wait to the 60th minute, Jake, to make any kind of change. And it's good to see someone that does not wait. If it's not working, he's going to fix it. And it sounds like Benitez is the same type of manager. So that's actually a good sign for Newcastle United, and also that he's already aware of how to win the league. And it really does start with the defense. If you have a solid defense, that goes a long way in winning in this league because it's so competitive. All right, my friend, let's move on. Let's talk about the busy, and I mean busy, summer for Newcastle United. Talk to me about the players that have left Newcastle, and then we'll talk about the players that have come in. But just want to start off with the players that have left.
Yeah, so a few players have left, which I guess is just the reality of the situation we're in. Like, some of the players don't want to play in the Championship. Some think they're better, and some probably are better than the Championship. And the Premier League is obviously the division everybody wants to play their football in. So I don't hold any grudges about players that want to move on. At the end of the day, I just want players that want to be at the club first and foremost. So, you know, the players that have left, we've lost quite a few. To start off with, Stephen Taylor left. He's been at the club for, you know, as long as I can remember. He went through the youth academy, and he's been a good player, but like, he's nothing spectacular. And in the last few years, he's sort of been very injury prone, and he's not his performances. And I even think even in the Championship, he perhaps wouldn't have been good enough. So I think that was a good sign that he left. He's gone to the MLS, which I guess kind of just backs up what I've just said. There was no interest in England really, and he's gone to the MLS, which it's not like it's an up and coming league, but like, it sort of just shows that, you know, that's where his level is, and I wish him luck in his move. But I'm glad that, you know, he's gone. Next to leave was Colaccini. You know, he's been captain here for several years, joined in 2008, was a very good defender in his day. During that 2011-12 season, he got in the PFA Team of the Year, which sort of showed how good he was at one point. Very comfortable on the ball. I think he was a composed leader. He wasn't as vocal as maybe we needed, and when things weren't going our way, like, he would be one of the first to go, and he would often get sent off if we were 3 or 4 nil down, which showed maybe he wasn't the man to lead our club. And even in the last couple of years, he hasn't been that great. He's made a lot of mistakes and things. So he's gone back to Argentina, and I think, again, that was a good move by the club. That's two centre-halves we've lost, but they're the same two centre-halves we've had since we were relegated in 2009. So it's probably the right time to move on from them, and I'm sort of glad they've gone. I mean, both of them I like very much as people. I'm happy with what they've done for the club, but it was just the right time to move on, so I'm glad they've gone. Two players that I'm slightly disappointed to lose. I'll start with Andros Townsend. I wasn't too happy when we signed him, because obviously he's much maligned in some quarters of the media, but he did very well for us. He was probably our best player over the last half of that season. He scored a lot of goals, was just very good on the ball, and he always looked a threat, and he got into the provisional England squad for his performances for us, so that was disappointing. I think he wanted to stay, but at the same time he knew that, you know, the Premier League's the place to be, and he's gone to join our old friend Alan Pardew. So I'm interested to see how that goes. But we put a lot of money in for him, and I think that's a good thing that he left. And then there was Gini Wijnaldum, another very good player, but you know, we got offered $25 million for him, and you know, as a Championship club, we can't turn that money down.
Sure.
He's going to Liverpool, and he's probably too good for this league as well, I think. So, you know, I can understand why he left. And you know, we've brought in a lot of money this summer. People are saying, oh, Newcastle, how can they be spending all this money? You know, there's FFP regulations and things, but we've actually brought in more than we've spent. So as it was, like, that sort of shows how we can bring in all these players that we've brought in, which I'm sure we'll come into a little bit later. So, you know, we've done all our outgoing business. Florian Thauvin left today, and that just shows how poor our scouting and sort of recruitment has been in recent years. We signed him for, I think it was $13 million plus loaning Remy Cabella to Marseille, and now Marseille have both Cabella and Thauvin back, and they've made a big profit. So, you know, that was an awful bit of business all around, and I'm glad he's left. And I'm sure there'll be two or three more departed before the window has ended. But apart from that is all the players we've lost to date. So, you know, I'm disappointed to lose some of them, but yeah, it's just the reality of the Championship, isn't it, really?
It is, and I will tell you a player that I always admired, and that was Colaccini. I'm glad that you mentioned him going way back. A quality player, but sometimes you just have to move on, Jake, like you mentioned. Let's now transition, and let's talk about the players that have been brought in. And I think Rafa has filled many needs based on the players that have left. You have players like Grant Hanley coming in from Blackburn, a quality defender. I will tell you the player that I think is going to be your best signing, that's just my opinion, is Matt Ritchie. I know you lost Andres Townsend. I don't think you're going to be losing much bringing in Matt Ritchie. That's my opinion. Recently, you brought in Mohamed Diame, and you also brought in Kieran Clark. There are so many additions. I can keep going on and on. Dwight Gale, you know, a striker. This is a player that Fulham had been linked to for a very long time. Based on what I've looked at, your recruitment has been excellent. So what stands out to you with the new additions for Newcastle United?
Yeah, it has been quite impressive, I think. I think it sort of just shows how much Benitez understands the league, and he understands how to build a squad, which we've lacked a lot in. We sort of just signed players that have big reputations, and like we haven't really thought how they fit into our squad, and that seems to have changed this summer. And before, we haven't been signing players over the age of 26. That has now changed, which I think is important because, you know, experience is very important in this league, and it's important in football, full stop, and it's something that we should have been doing all along. So I'm very happy that's happened. The thing that's impressed me most about the transfer business is that Rafa is so forward-thinking. He thinks so far ahead of the fans. Like, some of the signings he's made, we think, oh, that's a bit odd. But when you actually look into what he's done, you think that makes a lot of sense. It will just start off with our first signing, Matt Sells. He's a Belgian goalkeeper, played in the Champions League for Ghent, very highly rated. I think Premier League clubs are in for him. And when we heard we were going in for him, we were like, well, that's a bit odd. Look, we've got Tim Krul, Rob Elliott, Cole Darlow. That's three goalkeepers that can play in the Championship, no problem at all. Like, they're three very good goalkeepers. Does this mean that some of them are going? That hasn't happened. So we're like, it's weird. Now we've got four first-choice goalkeepers. But when you listen to why he's done it, it makes a lot of sense, because Elliott and Krul are going to be out injured till November, December, and we'd have been left with just Cole Darlow. And then if something happens to him, then what do you do? And you know, so it was important that we brought in a goalkeeper, and we've done that. He looks okay in pre-season. You know, you never know what they're going to be like until the competitive action starts. But, like, that's you know, a positive signing for us, that Rafa's thinking so, you know, more clearly than the fans are of what we need. So that's very, you know, reassuring as a fan. And he said, I'd rather have four goalkeepers than have one goalkeeper. Like, that's a better problem to have, and I'd rather have that problem down the line than have, like, you know, have a problem with having no goalkeepers, which, you know, just shows how he thinks about building a squad. Moving on from that, you know, you mentioned Gale, Ritchie, Hanley, Diame, you know, four very, very good players in this league. I think Gale is going to compete with Mitrovic, and even if you play them as a partnership, that could be very interesting, because you've sort of got the big man, little man, and he's a very good finisher. He got the number 9 shirt today, which a lot of fans have sort of raised their eyebrows at, but, you know, it's a heavy shirt here, and I hope he does well in it. Like, I have no doubt he's going to score goals. He's been the top scorer for Crystal Palace for the last three seasons, despite having relatively little game time, and I think in this league he's just going to come on a lot. So I'm very happy we got him, and I agree with you. I think Ritchie is perhaps a standout. He got a lot of goals and assists for Bournemouth when they were in this league. I think he got something like 17 goals and 15 assists or something ridiculous like that. So if he gets even close to that, that's going to be a great addition. I'm surprised he dropped down from Bournemouth, because he was a regular player there in the Premier League, but I guess it sort of shows that what Rafa Benitez can do, that name, players want to play for him, and they're prepared to, you know, put their career on the back burner for maybe a season just to sort of get in there and learn from him and maybe be a part of what he's building. So I think Ritchie was a very good signing. I'll just mention two players that you didn't mention. Isaac Hayden, okay. I think he played for Hull last season. He's a defensive midfielder. He's looked very, very good in the preseason, and I think he's sort of a player that people may not think that much of, where he's been let go by Arsenal, but that people think he can go on and be a very good Premier League player and perhaps even play for England. And from what I've seen, I wouldn't disagree. I think he's in the right place. Rafa's going to bring him on a lot. He's probably not ready for the Premier League yet, but another season with us, you know, in the Championship, and he got promoted last season with Hull, so he's obviously got that experience. So I'm very excited to see him play. And we signed Jesus Gámez from Atletico Madrid, and he's over the age of 30 now, but I think he's a leader. He's going to bring in, he's got plenty of experience. He's the captain, Malaga. Obviously played under Simeone, played in the Champions League. So, you know, no problem to have him at the club. And I think he's going to be a good sort of man to have around. I'll just mention a bit about Kieran Clark and Grant Hanley, because obviously, sure, you know, we've spent £10 million on two centre-halves now. But I think they're not going to be starters from what I can gather, which is ridiculous in this division that we're spending £10 million on two players that are not going to start games. But again, it just sort of shows how we're building a squad. And, you know, that competition is there. And we've got the African Cup of Nations coming up. And we have Chancellor Mbemba, who's probably our best centre-half. And he's going to go away for a month. And, you know, that's seven or eight fixtures he's likely to miss. So we needed options there. And it's always good to have competition for places. So I'm sure both Handley and Clark will think they can get into that team. And you know, if they do, then that's great, because it's always good to have competition and people playing that at the top level. So I think, you know, I'm very encouraged by the recruitment we've done. From what I've heard, it's not completely done. I'd expect us maybe to bring in one or two more, depending on what leaves. Because if Moussa Sissoko leaves, we're probably going to need to bring in another attacking player. And we've been linked with Abdi Knockhart, who, again, is just very good in this division. So if we got him, that'd be very, very good. Yeah, so I'd be very happy to get him. But I'm not sure if Brighton would want to sell to us. But, you know, it's just, again, it just sort of encourages me that we're targeting the right players, and it will be interesting to see what other business we do. If we don't do any other business, we've got a good enough squad, and, you know, I'm sure we'll still do fine. But it having Benitez sort of just show it's, we've sort of got a plan in the transfer window, which we haven't had for a long time, and that, again, that just really encourages me.
It should, because while you're going through all the names, I'm also just thinking to myself some of the players that Fulham have brought in, because there seems to be a plan in what Savis is doing. Not just proven players, because that's one thing I want to say, all the names you were talking about, the majority of them are proven players. It's also, many of these players are in their prime, Jake, and that's what Rafa is getting. He's getting players that really know what they need to do. You know, there really isn't the talk about, well, he has upside, he isn't the proven article. All these players that you're bringing in, Jake, are pretty much, this is who they are, and that they can just assimilate into what he wants to do. So I agree with you. You should be very happy. You know, like I've mentioned to you, is that I'm happy with Fulham's recruitment. It's not done, but you've done what Fulham need to continue to do, is to bring in proven players.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think the Championship is maybe not the best league to bring in sort of 18, 19-year-olds, and you need to get those players that are battle-hardened, you know, can deal with the fight. And, you know, Fulham is another good example. I like what they're doing. They're adding a lot of pace to the attack. I think, although you've lost McCormack, you know, I don't think he would have fitted in great this season anyway, and you've got a lot of money for that. So, you know, you could reinvest that now and bring in more players that suit what you're trying to build. So I think, you know, I although people write off Fulham, they're like, oh, McCormack's gone, Dembele's gone, Hyman's gone, you know, that's three very good players, but, you know, you've got the money to reinvest that. And if you reinvest it well, like Brighton did last season, there's no reason why you can't maybe challenge for the top six and maybe even the top two if it goes all to plan, because this division is so tight, and that the recruitment is just so important. So I'm very just happy with what we've done, and I can sort of see, you know, the advantages of what Fulham are doing as well. And I'm not underestimating Fulham at all ahead of this one. I think a lot of people are writing them off. They say, oh, McCormack's gone, that's really good for us, but I'm not quite buying into that.
Well, you know, again, you've been keeping up to date with what's going on, not just with your own club. You really have taken a look at Fulham, and if you did, talking about anyone else, you'd know that we're building something. We're a good team right now. That's what I think. We're changing how we're playing, Jake. You know, again, it's going to be a pressing style. I personally did not see where McCormack fit, so I see this as an opportunity, like you mentioned, to reinvest that money, to make Fulham not just a good team, but like you mentioned, make them a very good team. There's that opportunity if they invest wisely. That's the million-pound question. Will they invest wisely? But they've been doing it so far. It's now taking it to that next level. And when I look at Newcastle, you know, that's one of the things, Jake, I mentioned to you, a co-host, was upset that you're getting Diame. So, well, why isn't Fulham going after Diame? Because that's the type of player that they should be targeting. So all the players that you brought in, you know, I see what you're doing. I also see what Fulham are doing. They need to be doing what they've been currently doing. Just keep adding to it. But let's move on. Let's talk quickly just about your preseason. Fulham have had a very good preseason. It sounds like Newcastle have as well.
Yeah, we've got a lot of wins. We've scored a lot of goals, and I think overall it's been very pleasing. And, you know, everyone's got their opportunities, which is very important in preseason. You get to see the younger players coming through, which maybe you won't see as much when the you know, the competitive stuff starts. But it's preseason's always good, because nothing matters, like the results don't matter or anything, so you don't feel that sort of nerves going into games. So I've been very pleased. It's been, you know, refreshing to see us not go for those long haul flights to the States or Australia or China as we've done in the past. I think it was Benitez made the right decision to stick in England and in Ireland, and I think we had one friendly in Belgium, but like there wasn't much flight time. It was mainly all concentrated on the training ground, all the fitness work, all the tactical work, and I think we've looked very good, and I think we're ready for the season to start. There have been a few disappointments, as there would be in any preseason. We had injuries to CM Dion and Matt Ritchie, which is always going to happen. You're always going to get a few niggling injuries. And I'm not sure about Dion, but Ritchie played in the final preseason friendly, so I think he'll be fine going into the weekend. We've played very well. Our final friendly was against Vitesse Arnhem, who play in the Dutch league, a league that I follow. So they're quite a good team. Like they challenge quite well in the league. They've got quite a few Chelsea loanees who played against us, and so it was a good test. Like they're probably around championship level, maybe like top League One level, but you know they're sort of the level we need to be testing ourselves against. And we played very well. We play especially in the first half. We went 3-0 up very quickly. Dwight Gayle, Matt Ritchie played very well. Ayoze Perez played very well, and he's looked very, very good this preseason. He's been linked to Barcelona, which, although I don't buy into that much, that he's probably a player that they look at purely because he's Spanish, but he's a very talented player, and I wouldn't be surprised if he is, you know, goes on to be one of the most dangerous players in the league this season, because he is better than the Championship. He's got the potential to go as high as he wants in the game. I really believe that. I think he's a very talented player, so I think his preseason form is very encouraging, because I think a lot of what we do in the final third is going to rely on him this year, so I'm very pleased he's getting that sort of action. And I think Benitez is the right man to sort of bring him through, because they've known each other since quite a young age. I think Benitez has sort of links in Tenerife where Perez came through, and the two have a good relationship. That is very positive for us moving forwards. There has been and another negative has been all the transfer sagas that have been going around. Like obviously Sissoko has been linked away all summer. And that can't be good for the squad. Like hearing that there's a player that wants to leave, and he's been coming out on social media saying, I want to leave Newcastle. He's been retweeting transfer stories, linking him to other clubs, and that has sort of been a bit of a distraction. And the Wijnaldum stuff as well. We had a preseason game against Oldham, and we play that was in the squad, and there was a lot of rumours about him leaving, and Benitez has since said that, you know, it wasn't good for the squad, it distracted them. So all, you know, it's important, as well as it's important to bring in players, it's important to, you know, get rid of those players that don't want to be at the club, and because it just distracts the other players at the end of the day. And I think we've seen that during pre-season, but yeah, it's been fairly positive. You know, you're never going to get a wholly positive pre-season, and it's all right getting results in pre-season. You just don't know where it's going to land you when the competitive stuff starts. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, where we are, you know, in relation to where Fulham are. And that's what's going to be very interesting, because everybody's so positive at this time of the year. You know, you have your preseason. You can be as positive as you want, but at the end of the day, you don't know where you don't know where you're going to be until, you know, you start playing games in the league and in the cup. So, you know, it's all right being positive now, but we'll ask me again after Friday, and I might have a different answer.
Okay, my friend, I will. And listen, this has been wonderful talking with you. Is it okay that we continue, say, for another 10 to 15 minutes? Because I have other topics I want to talk to, but I want to get into the match.
Yeah.
We haven't really even touched on the match yet. So definitely want to get into it. This has been interesting. But I'm glad that you talked about the Sissoko situation, because it is similar to the McCormack situation. At some point, you need to get rid of the player who doesn't want to be there, and then you move on, because it can be a distraction. So I hope, for your sake, you know, this is from a Newcastle perspective, that Sissoko moves on sooner than later, so you guys can move on. But let's move on from talking about the additions. Let's now focus on the match. I want your opinion going into that match. Talk to us just real brief, not too long, about the strengths for Newcastle United as they're about to play Fulham on Friday night.
Yeah, I think the strengths lie in the manager. I think a lot of what we are is what Rafa Benitez is. Like, you know, his side's always going to be tough to beat. You know, a Rafa Benitez team is never going to lose like 5 or 6 games on the streak. So I think that is our main strength, and our strength of squad as well. Like, we have CM Dion, a former Ajax captain. We have Grant Harnley, who's played in the league a long time. We have Dwight Gayle, you know, and Jonjo Shelvey, England international. None of those are guaranteed starts going forward. Like, they might get a start of the weekend, but on Friday even, but they're not guaranteed starts. That just sort of shows the quality of our squad, and that competition for places is only going to bring good performances. Because if you've got other players vying for your spot, you know, that's that that's only going to make you play better. So I think our strength lies in our squad and our manager. Our style of play, I think we're going to be quite sort of functional. I don't think we're going to play an expansive brand of football, but I think we're going to be very effective. And I think we've got good finishing in the team, and I think we're going to score goals. And at the back, we're not going to be leaking goals all over the shop either. So I think we're just going to be a solid all-around team, and I think that's exactly what you need in this division.
I totally agree with that. You need to be balanced, but you definitely need a rock-solid defense, as we talked about before with the examples of Middlesbrough and also Burnley. You know, Burnley had one fantastic striker, but they had a solid defense behind it, and it all worked out very good. They weren't always pleasing on the eye, but, hey, they got promoted. In the end, it works. All right, so let's move on. I want to get your perspective a little bit on Fulham. So what players really concern you that are Fulham players in this match?
I think the thing with Fulham is as an opposition fan, it's maybe not the individual players, but at the unit altogether that worries me. I think the players you've got to sort of, you know, mesh in with each other well. You've got Sonny Aluko, Floyd Ayite, you know, you've just got a lot of pace in that attack. I think they're going to work together well. I think it's going to be similar to Brighton last year where, you know, there's not a standout performer, but you've just got a good sort of core of players, a good squad, players that just sort of play together well. So if I had to talk about standout players, there'll be the two I mentioned. Aluko is a player I've seen a lot for Hull in the past. He's played in the Premier League. He has a lot of pace. He scored a couple of very, very good goals against us. There was one from about 25, 30 yards out, which was just ridiculous. And he has a knack of scoring against us. And, you know, every single club has those players that just score against them. And Sonny Aluko is one that scores frequently against Newcastle. So he concerns me a lot. And Floyd Ayite is a player, you know, he's 27. He's been in the French League for a lot of his career, but you know, he's quite highly rated. He's at the peak of his career, and I think in the Championship he's just going to do very well. It's maybe he's not good enough for the Premier League, but at Championship level I think he's going to do fine. So they're the two players that individually I'm a bit concerned about. But Fulham as a whole, I think they've just got, it's just their style of play, and I think they just suit each other well. You know, you've got Jukanovic has sort of just set his stall out. He's put his plan into place, and there's going to be a lot of pace. And I think high pressing, like you mentioned, it's going to be a tough game. And I think it's the pace that worries me a lot. But yeah, if you wanted individual players, I think that they're the two I'm a little bit worried about.
Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of other players, just so you know. What Tom Kearney, we've been talking about on Cottage Talk a great deal, that Savisa was talking last season that he wanted to build the team around Ross McCormack. Myself and one of my co-hosts said you should really be building around Tom Kearney. And now that McCormack's gone, Tom Kearney is now have more freedom to be the player that we think he can be. So that's a player to watch. And I just want to name another player. I don't know if he's going to play. I think he's going to play. An exciting young player and a future player for England is Ryan Sessegnon at left back. Just turned 16 years old, Jake. This is a player to watch. I don't know if he's going to play, but he has shown no evidence that he cannot play at the Championship level, but he is such a young player, so I'll be curious to see if Savisa goes with him. He's played a great deal in the preseason and did a very nice job against Andrews Townsend. That was a very big test for the youngster, and he held up. And then, of course, he has lightning speed going forward. So that's just the name of a player to look out. If you see his name on the starting 11, I would definitely say look out for Ryan Sessegnon. He might surprise you. But let's move on. Let's now talk about from a Fulham perspective again. If you are Fulham head coach Slavisa Jokanovic, what would be your strategy against Newcastle to exploit your weaknesses?
Yeah, so like I said, I think we're well balanced, and there's not many, you know, individual weaknesses. But we spoke a bit off air about how, you know, it might take us a bit of time to adjust to this league. And I think that's exactly what he needs to tell his players. He needs to say, you know, look, that first 15 minutes, put that extra 10% of effort in, press harder, you know, push up, you know, really put these Newcastle players under pressure, you know, put your foot in, be a bit more aggressive in the tackle, sort of try and unsettle us. And I think that's exactly what you need to do, because some of these players won't have played at this level, and you need to get in amongst our players and sort of just put us off our own game and sort of make us, you know, misplace passes, you know. That's exactly what you need to do. Just need to put us under pressure and be very, very aggressive in that first 15. Like, you can't play at that level over an entire 90 minutes, especially over the first game. You know, you can't be running 90 minutes. But, you know, for that first 15, you can put us under a lot of pressure and just sort of unnerve us. And that is probably what another area is set pieces. We conceded twice against Vitesse at the weekend. We don't look that great in that area. I don't expect this going to be a problem over the whole season because Benitez, obviously, he's going to recognise that and he's going to put a lot of work into that. But maybe for this, for the first two or three games, it's an area where we could be weak on. So that is maybe an area you could strengthen to attack. I'm not sure if Fulham have many good, you know, set piece takers or any good sort of aerial threat, but that's an area I would target if I was Jukanović.
Okay, very good. Unfortunately, we lost the person who does that fantastic. I'm talking about on substitute taking him is Ross McCormack. But I think that they can actually, I think with a few different players, and Kearney being one of them, I think that they can still be decent on set pieces. I'm not too worried about that, but I'm glad that you mentioned that. Along with the pressing, I agree with you 100%. If I'm Slavica, I go right at Newcastle United for the first 15 minutes, put them under severe pressure, maybe get a goal, and then you settle a little bit back into the game. You keep the pressure on, but, you know, like you said, you can't really do that for 90 minutes, but you start off the match, you let them know that you're home, and you put them under pressure, and they have the pace to do it. And then maybe, you know, you pick your time where you settle back into the game, and then you beat Newcastle on the counter because they have that pace now to do that. So they can, you know, they can play a real tactical game. But I agree with you, Jake. If I'm Slavica, I tell his team, go after it from the get-go. That's probably a very good strategy for Fulham in this match. All right, let's now turn back to Newcastle. And what do you see? I think you mentioned that you think the formation is going to be a 4-2-3-1. So let's just talk about the starting 11 that you think Benitez will use in this match.
Yeah, I think 4-2-3-1 is definitely what it's going to be. So there's going to be no surprises there. In terms of the personnel, it's not going to be set in stone, but this is how I think he'll probably play it. I think we'll have Matsels in goal, the new Belgian keeper for what will be his first game in English football. So maybe he can be targeted a little bit as well. The back four will be Daryl Yamat, probably Chancellor and Bembry if he's fit. He had a little niggle in training, but if he's fit, he'll play. If not, it'll be Grant Hanley. But I expect it'll be Mbemba next to Jamal Lascelles, who got the captain's armband today, which I think was a very good move from Benitez because he's a true leader. And even though he's just 22, I think he's going to do very well this season. So he'll definitely play. We'll have Paul Dummett at left back. Again, a solid Premier League player. He's not going to run up and down the wing and put crosses in and score goals, but he's just a solid defender. He's very good at the back, very good in the air. And I think he's going to play left back in sort of the double pivot. We'll have Isaac Hayden, the new signing from Arsenal. I think he's probably going to play next to Jack Colback. Again, those two will just sit deep, sort of just help the back four out, make sure we stay solid at the backs. And then, you know, we've got players in the forward positions to sort of attack Fulham, and I expect that will be Vernon and Ita on the right wing, which isn't where he plays. He's sort of a centre-back who can play right-back, left-back. But he's been playing a bit there during pre-season. He's the sort of player that will put 100% of effort into whatever role he plays. He's got a good cross on him. He can take people on. And, you know, it's a stopgap at right wing. I think he'll be fine. So I think he'll play there. And then we'll have Jose Perez and Matt Ritchie as well, just behind Dwight Gayle. So, you know, there's a lot of attacking talent there. Sure. I think it's a decent enough team. It's probably one that Benitez will think can get the three points. And then if he doesn't go up then, we've also got Rolando Ahrens. He's a very talented young player. He could play on either wing. We've got Jonjo Shelvey and Mohamed Diame. I'm not sure if Diame is going to be ready for this game, if he's ready for a start. But I think, you know, any three of those players could also they start in some role, but I think it's probably going to be the players that I mentioned starting. And today they were talking a bit about Sissoko. They don't expect him to be involved, but I wouldn't be over, like, it would surprise me if he is on the bench, but I wouldn't be like a total shock if he was on the bench, purely just to sort of maybe a bit of mind game to Fulham to sort of seeing, sure, like Moussa Sissoko on that bench. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the bench, but like I don't expect it. So yeah, that's probably the team I play, and I think we're probably going to look to sort of sit back, sort of to start off with, make sure we don't concede an early goal, and then as the game goes on, I think Benitez is going to have faith in the players to sort of push on and get that 3 points.
Okay, I have to be honest with you, Jake. We've been talking about this on Cottage Talk. We think that this is Fulham's toughest match. It's the first match of the season at home. That's how well thought of we all are of Newcastle United, and I'm the one that I've kept saying this on the show. Bring it, because I'd rather start with a team that has a chance to win the division right off the bat. Test yourself. If we can get a result, I think that's very good for Fulham. So that's the way I'm approaching it. I'm glad that they're playing Newcastle. I might not be saying that late Friday night, but we'll see what happens. We're going to end the show with your prediction. Give me your prediction for the match, Jake.
Yeah, I'll just quickly mention what you just said. Like, I think it's a no-lose game for Fulham. I think, to be honest, the performance is more important than the results. So if you come out, play your natural game, and you play well, like, you can't lose, and you can only take positives from that. So, yeah, I think it's a very good game to start off with, and I think if we're going to be weak at any point, it's going to be over the first few games, so it can come at a better time. But in terms of a prediction, I've been saying all week I think it's going to be a draw. I don't enjoy going to Fulham. It's a game that I often go to. I'm going to be at the game tomorrow night, and I'm not excited with how poor results there. I think there was a 4-2 a few years ago, and then the year you got relegated, we lost 1-0. And yeah, it's we normally do very bad there. So I've been predicting a 1-1 draw, but over the last 24 hours, listening to Benitez, sort of the two players coming in, I've got a bit more positive, and I think we're just going to nick it 2-1. I think we've got enough in us, and you know, I'm fairly confident, but you know, it could go anyway. Like, Fulham, I think, are very underestimated, and I think they're going to be a much harder test than a lot of Newcastle fans are expecting.
Okay, thank you very much for sharing that. It's funny because I certainly understand why you're going back and forth between 1-1, 2-1, because I think it's going to be tight, and I think we could have all three results here. We're talking about a Fulham victory, a close Fulham victory, a draw, or a close Newcastle victory, and that's why I think this match is going to be very interesting, and I think it's going to be a great test for both sides. But before we go, again, major thank you, Jake, for doing this with me. You've been excellent, and I just want to stress one more time, please do check out Jake's podcast about the championship. It is truly excellent. I've enjoyed it. I've wanted more podcasts on the championship. Well, Jake has one now, so please do check it out, and I'll be posting regularly on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. It's a great take. I highly recommend you listening to that. And Jake, before we go, just tell everyone how they can reach you on Twitter.
Yeah, my Twitter account is at Jake Jackman with two N's. I post pretty much everything I do over there. I'll be plugging my podcast, which is going to be recorded every week, and there will be occasionally two episodes each week, depending, you know, if we have midweek fixtures and things like that. And I'm going to try and get Andrew on again. I'm going to try and get Russ on the podcast as well, and there's going to be a lot of Fulham representation on it, and we're going to try and cover every team in that league, because I think that's something that, you know, hasn't really been done for the championship as a league individually. There's been Football League podcasts, but I'm just going to focus on the championship, and we hope that's going to be very successful. It's called the Championship Roundtable. You can sort of find it on Acast and places like that. We run other shows for the Premier League as well, the EPL Roundtable. We have a fantasy podcast for the Premier League as well. So check all that out. I'm sure there'll be links to that come out with this podcast. And if you follow me on Twitter and sort of go over there, I'll be plugging it as well. So please check that out. It's only been two episodes so far. We've had two preseason episodes. We've had Andrew on, who was very good on there. So yeah, just please check that out.
Okay, very good. And I just want to say you're filling a void, my friend. I've been complaining that there hasn't been a podcast just about the championship. You are now filling that. I mean, that's specifically the championship. I'm excited to listen to it each and every week. So congratulations on that, because you've made me very happy with having a podcast each and every week. And if you do two episodes a week, it'll be great to listen at the gym. So thank you for doing that, and you've been an excellent guest. I want to wish you the best tomorrow night. May the best club win, or maybe we get a draw. We'll see how it goes. But thank you again.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, fantastic. But it's time to wrap up this show for our special guest, Jake Jackman. I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Jake, and thank you very much.